Well, thank you very much to William for starting off. It's never the easiest when you're sharing with somebody to be able to have to start off with these things, so thank you. I don't know how you find it in your family, William, but I always thought that the good bits would come from my side and the bad bits would come from this side. I think we could argue that point as to whether it's true or not. I sincerely doubt it is true or not. I'd like to read one verse with you in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. William laid out for us there one of the great scenes in the Bible, probably the first great scene in the Bible. And tonight I wanted to take us to another great scene in the Bible and possibly one of the greatest ones in the Bible. And we'll talk talk more about that as we go along. So Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, and it says this: "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." I'm sure God will add his blessing to reading of his word. Now, as I said, this is probably one of the greatest scenes in all of not just biblical history, not just the history that's contained within our Bibles, but all of human history. It's one that the entire human race looked towards since the time that William was talking about there. And even since that time, we've been looking back towards the cross. It was a day that changed everything. Changed absolutely everything. Now, you might argue that there are days in this world where things have changed beyond all recognition. We can think back to our own lifetimes of the atrocities in America, 9/11, of how life really changed then. There was restrictions put on us, there was things happened, there was problems came up because of that. We can think possibly back to World Wars, World War II, World War I, where life just changed dramatically, almost overnight. But Christ on the cross at Calvary was a day that changed everything. It turned brother against brother, it turned nation against nation, and yet through the power of the cross it has united a people from every corner of the earth. So tonight, just for the short time that we have, just for a couple of minutes, I want to think, why is this such an important thing for us? And to do that, I want to establish three things. Who was this man? Who was this man that they were talking about? Why was he there? And once we establish those two things, we'll be able to think more clearly about why this was the most important thing to ever have happened. So first of all, who was this man? Who was this man that they took to the place called Calvary? Who was this man that they crucified? Well, he could have been a common criminal. When we look at the person who was on the right hand and the person who was on the left hand of Christ, they're called criminals in the Bible. We're called people who were receiving the just rewards of their lives. People who had done things wrong. People who had, by necessity, been taken there by the authorities and who had been hanged. So was he a common criminal? Well, no, he wasn't. You know, there was a sign placed above him. If we read further down the passage, we would have found that there was, verse 38 says, "An inscription also was written over him in letters Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews." So this was no ordinary man. Even authorities at this time, although put in some kind of mocking manner above him, said that he was some kind of king, the King of the Jews. You know, the Jews had longed for a king. They had looked for many, many years for one who would come and who would free them from the oppression that they are, free them from the tyranny of Rome. They delighted in Old Testament prophecies like that of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice." They had longed for a king. So this was no ordinary man. This was some kind of royalty. This was somebody who had come to save the Jewish people. And yet, as we read in our Bibles, we find that the Jewish people had rejected him. They had said, "No, this is not our king. This is not who we want to reign over us." And as we look at that scene at the cross of Calvary, as we look at the people who are round about, we find that somebody down at the cross made an extraordinary statement. There was a centurion there who looked at what the Lord Jesus had gone through, who looked at what he said, and he stated this: truly, this man was the Son of God. So this was no ordinary man. This wasn't just a king. Somebody here was claiming that this man was the Son of God. You know, when you think about the name Jesus, it was a name that was given by an angel who came to Mary and who told her that she was going to have a son and they would call his name Jesus. When Jesus was being tried, they asked him directly. If you look in Luke 22, verse 70, he said, "Then they asked, 'Are you the Son of God?' And he replied, 'You're right in saying that I am.'" So here we have not just a man, not just a king, but the Son of God. And what I want you to think about tonight was there must have been a very important reason for that man to be on the cross. That Son of God to be on the cross, there must have been an important reason that the very God of the universe would send his only Son to be on that cross. So who was the man? He was the Son of God. So why was he there? Why was the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary? Well, you might say, well, why were the other two criminals there? Well, we've already talked about that. They'd done something wrong. Well, when we think about the Lord Jesus, we can't find anything in the scriptures that would have allowed him to deserve a punishment such as this. When Pilate had been trying him, when he had looked at it, when he had tried him, when he'd gone over the things that had been done, he said, "I find no fault in this man." Even the person who was prosecuting him, even the person who was sentencing him, said he couldn't find anything wrong with this man. Could it be a case of mistaken identity? Could it be that they got the wrong person? Well, when you read in John's Gospel about how the inscription was read, it says, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So there was no doubt in the people's minds the man on that cross was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So the only reason that he could have been there was that he was in place of somebody else. Now, the Bible tells us, in some respects, who he was in place of. There's a man called Barabbas who, on that day, was due to be hung on that cross for his deeds. He was a criminal, he had done things wrong, and it was his right to go to that cross at Calvary to die. And yet the people were given the choice between Jesus, the man who had done nothing wrong, and Barabbas, this criminal. And the people had chosen Barabbas instead of Jesus. So Jesus, as he was hanging on that cross, in some respects, he was there in place of Barabbas. But there was a much bigger reason that he was there. Much, much bigger reason that was there. And to understand why he was there, we must understand what he was trying to achieve. Now, William's talked about some of this, but if we were to look in 1 Timothy, it said this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." William talked about the Lord Jesus. He talked about the reason why the Lord Jesus had to die on the cross at Calvary. He talked about the things that Adam and Eve had done wrong, that had really sentenced not only themselves to death, but the entire human race to death. And just after the point that William was talking about, there's a scene where the judgment is about to fall on mankind, about to fall on Adam and Eve. They're about to be tossed out of the Garden of Eden. And a promise is made that someone was going to come and set everything right again, that was going to provide a way back to God, a way for us to be made right with God, a way to get back that perfection that we had lost through Adam and Eve falling. So why was he there? To save us from our sins. But why is sin a problem? You might say, well, that happened all those years ago. It happened thousands of years ago. What has it got to do with me? Well, the prophet Isaiah said again, "Your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Sins separate us from God. We might want to have a home in heaven. We might want to be able to say that when we die, we'll go straight to heaven. Yet The Bible tells us very clearly that the things that we've done wrong, the sins that we've committed, separate us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Well, how had mankind cope with it up till then? Well, they'd sacrificed animals. There had to be a shedding of blood that would cover them of those sins. And yet Hebrews says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Could perhaps cover them for the time, but they couldn't cover them in entirety. God required a perfect sacrifice to pay the price of sin and make us right with God again. Romans chapter 5 says this: "Therefore, as through one man's offence, judgment came to all men," so let's talk about Adam here, "resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men." This is talking about the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross at Calvary. "Resulting in the justification of life, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." The reason the Lord Jesus was there was to pay the price for our sins, so that we could be made right with God again. So who was this man? Well, he was the Son of God. And there was a very important reason that he was there, to pay the price for our sins. So why is this the most important thing to have ever happened? Do you know there is no way that we could have made ourselves right with God? There is no way that we could have our sins forgiven on our own merits. Romans 3 verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." So when we look at the cross at Calvary, when we look at what happened there, we see the greatest outpouring of love to have ever happened. God in his holiness and his perfection saw us heading towards a lost eternity, and he sent his Son to die at the cross at Calvary for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this: "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So why is this the most important thing to have ever happened? Because it leaves us with a very important choice to make. We have a way to get back right with God again. We have a way for our sins to be forgiven. We have a way that we can be made right. And tonight what I want to ask you is this: will you accept him as your saviour? Will you accept that there is no way that you can get back to heaven? Will you accept that there is no way you can be made right with God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you believe that he can take your sins away? And will you have the knowledge of a home in heaven when you die or when he comes back again? So there's three thoughts on the cross, three very quick thoughts. Who was this man? Well, he was the Son of God. What was he there for? To save us from our sins. Why is it the most important thing? Because without it, we're lost. We're headed towards a lost eternity, headed towards hell, and it's a place that we really don't want to go. So please tonight, if you haven't thought about these things before, think about it very seriously. It's not a thing that can just be taken lightly. It's really is a life or death situation. It's something that we need to consider. The Lord Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary for our sins. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for